Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the podcast again today. It is the third day of March, 2021. Joanne here with you for a little bit. And again, I want to thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Word of God and just great messages from the Lord. I can't take credit for anything. I mean, I just show up and do radio and pray and just listen to what He's saying. And so He's got to receive all the praise and the glory for the things that He does, you know, because I've been looking at what is going on in the church right now. It's just absolutely amazing, you know, things we've prayed for a long time and seeing His Spirit being poured out in our church just in powerful ways. I see Him rebuilding people, waking people up. He's healing people. We've got testimonies of healings and just the miracles that God is working. People are encountering His Spirit, maybe even for the first time, you know, as our praise and worship is going to a whole new level. And people are just, they're getting on fire for God. I mean, their expectation is being raised that every time they come, they're going to encounter the Lord. So He's just pouring out so many good things. I mean, He's resurrecting things that are dead, that have been dead, bringing people back in to the body of Christ. Even I'm seeing new people come in. You know, they've kind of decided the world doesn't have anything. You know, the world doesn't have the answers. It sure is a mess. And they're coming into the church to see if perhaps they can find truth, you know, and what they need. And yeah, here we are. We've got Jesus. We're giving them the Spirit of God and the love of God. And so this is just a very, very exciting time to be in the body of Christ. You know, we weren't meant to be disconnected. We were meant to be connected as members of the body in fellowship with each other, with Jesus as the head, the brains. Okay, He gets to make all the decisions, and He's always going to direct it in a way that it brings us into His fullness and into the life that we were designed to live. Yeah, any good? Here's something else that I believe He is doing, and I'm seeing it. It's a work of holiness in His people. Greater consecration, greater sanctification. I mean, throwing aside the idols and the things in our life that no longer satisfy us. And just running with a single heart towards God. I mean, you know, it's not just a Sunday thing. It's every day we are full on pursuing the heart and the will of God. Because, man, things of this world, they just don't do it for me. I mean, I am so over the things of this world. So just being willing to cast these things aside. And what I'm seeing is that the ones that God is using right now in ministry, the ones that He is able to pour His Spirit through, are these cleansed vessels, the people that are laying aside everything else and just pursuing Jesus with their whole heart. These are the ones that God is able to flow through right now and that His Spirit is able to move through and work through. And so the Lord directed me towards a passage of scripture. It's in Psalm 24. It's where we're going to go first, because it asks a question. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? Because as God's Spirit and His glory increases upon the church, we have to be able to stand before that. Okay, without it crushing us. I mean, the weight of His glory and His holiness, you know, we're standing before Him as priests to minister unto Him and to allow Him to work through us. Therefore, we have to be able to stand before our God. How do we do it? Well, it answers the questions. I'll ask them again. 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God. And I'm reminded of Moses. If you remember, the children of Israel, they left Egypt and they came to Mount Sinai to meet with the Lord. And the glory of the Lord came down upon the mountain. And it was a consuming fire. Even Moses said, it was so much that I am afraid. And I mean, it was just darkness and blackness. And it was a fearful sight that no one could touch the mountain unless they be stoned. But God called to Moses from the cloud and called him up. And Moses ascended into the cloud with the Lord. So let's ask the question again, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in that holy place? Well, clean hands. Yeah, no sin in our life. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And pure heart, pure motives, only God's agenda, not our own. I mean, we're not trying to do things for God to get things to go our way. We simply have a purified heart, and all we long for is to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just long to see Jesus magnified and lifted up high in our midst and in the world around us. People saved, healed, delivered, set free, bondages broken, lives restored, families healed. Pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. Our soul, our mind, will, emotions, our affections, okay? Affections. In other words, they're not divided between something that captivates our attention that God has to compete with. Yeah, that's an idol. If you have to ask someone permission to do the will of God, that relationship has become an idol, okay? Like if you're afraid to do the will of God because you're afraid it's going to upset someone, yeah, that someone has become an idol in your life. Any activity that draws you away from full-on consecration to God, yeah, just check it out. Make sure it hasn't sat on the throne of your heart when it shouldn't, okay? Nor sworn deceitfully. Okay, that talks about our words. Yeah, you know, speaking the truth. If we say one thing, but in our heart we're meaning another, that's deceitful. If we say we're going to do something and we don't, yeah, there's deceit there. Or maybe torn between our affections, between God and what we want most. We say we want God, but there's still something in our heart that wants something else. You know, we're just, it's like this verse in James 4:8. Where it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. God wants us to have single focus of heart and mind, and it's Jesus. Okay? So, the neat thing is, if you go over to Psalm 15, there's the mega boom. It asks questions too. So I'll read this to you. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? So these words, abide and dwell, they create the image of remaining in and living in that place with God, living in him. And then it answers, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness, who speaks the truth in his heart. So it's not just speaking the truth to others, but actually we speak it to ourselves. You know, when we're in that that mind battle or in places of unrest, we speak the word to ourselves. We take every thought captive. He who does not backbite with his tongue, he's not talking about people, you know, or we're not talking about people behind their back, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury or, you know, interest. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. You see, God is a God of all grace and love and forgiveness. But we're not allowed to abuse that grace by living the way we want. He gives us instructions so that we can remain in that place of abiding with Him. I'm just really feeling the Spirit on this right now, and I give you praise, God. So there's one more passage of Scripture, because I always use these two, but in the past couple months, someone pointed to the questions again, and this is found in Isaiah chapter 33, because it asks similar questions. It's basically asking the same thing, and then it answers it. But if you go up a few verses, like to Isaiah 33, verse 10, the Lord speaks first. He says, "Now I will rise. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up." And it talks about this consuming fire. You know, God is a consuming fire. If you go to verse 14, it says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites." Because people with sin and hypocrisy in their life, they can't stand before this consuming fire of God. They can't stand before this holy God if there's unholiness in their lives. I mean, the guilt and the weight of sin, it cannot meet with a holy God. And, you know, the Scripture says the Lord knows those who are His. I want to refer to this. It's in 2 Timothy 2:19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Because when we come and stand before God, we are known by Him. And He knows the inner workings of us, what's in our hearts, what's in our minds, what's in our lives, in the dark places that no one sees, in the secret place, what we do or what we say or what we think. And I mean, we come before Him and He knows whether or not our heart is right. He knows whether or not we're pure before Him. But guess what? Here's the questions, because He is a consuming fire. "Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings?" And I mean, who is able to come and ascend this mountain like Moses did? Who is able to abide in the tabernacle of the Lord? Who is able to dwell with the devouring fire? Verse 15 answers it. It says, "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil." God's not saying ignore it and do nothing about it. He's saying there's some things we shouldn't even listen to, and there's some things we shouldn't even look at. Okay? In other words, we love the holiness of God so much, we're not even going to entertain some of those evil things that are being spoken and some of those evil things that are being done. We're not going to let it in the gates of our ears and our eyes. Okay? But what I like about the Isaiah 33 passage is the promises that it gives for doing these things. It says, "He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks." Yeah, God comes to defend us. We're in a fortress with Him. He fights for us. "Bread will be given Him. His water will be sure." And then verse 17, "Your eyes will see the King in His beauty. They will see the land that is very far off." So God has rich and abundant promises to us whenever we consecrate and fully lay our lives down, setting ourselves apart unto Him. We just make Jesus our one desire. I mean, all we want is to abide and dwell with the presence of God and be used by Him. Hey, that's the ones that God is using in this hour. And we just give Him glory and honor and praise that He's pouring out His Spirit in such a powerful way. Father, use us. Let us be vessels, God, that You can pour Yourself and Your power into, God. And use us to reach those who are coming in looking for truth. God, draw Your people in for salvation. Draw people in, Lord God, for healing. Draw them in, Lord God, that they may meet with You, God. I believe, God, that You are giving an invitation to people to know You more. And Father, we say yes in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Until next time.